Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope today's show finds you well. We are here with more listener questions. Scott joins me today, and we have lots of questions on topics like dining at Splitsville. I know it's a bowling alley, but what about dining for the picky eater? Can that be done at Splitsville? We think so. Also, how about getting from Beach Club to the studios? What are some options there? When is Genie Plus going to come online? What about dining at Space 220 if you don't want to pay full price? This and many other questions coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They'd love to help you out with your next Disney vacation. Check out all the great free services they offer over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click really does mean a lot to us. So please bookmark it, click on that link, and then shop to your heart's content. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a sincere thank you to our patrons. You allow us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world. It's truly because of your support. And our patrons get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, come on over. Just visit us at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1969 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are having a great week as we get closer and closer to the big celebration down at Walt Disney World, 50 magical years. And we are excited to bring that all to you as we are all going to be down there for the big day on October 1st and that entire weekend with all the new events happening. We'll bring all that coverage to you here on the show. But it's not time quite yet. It's Wednesday, which means we got to answer your listener questions. And today, Ricky is down right now as we're recording. She today had a nice meal at Space 220. So she headed up the Stella elevator, whatever it's called. I don't know. And ate some crazy looking food, but she said it was chef's kiss, so she liked it. Pam is on a back-to-back on the Disney Dream, so she's living life large and hanging out until the 50th. Pam knows how to do Disney, so it's just Scott and I today. But hey, you know that means it could go anywhere on today's show. We're going to have a good time, so let me get him in. Your friend and mine from Up in the Mitten, which we established on Sunday night, is the state of Michigan. Scotty G, what's up, Scott? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. How did this happen? How is Ricky at Space 220 hanging out at Epcot? Pam's doing this back-to-back on the Dream, and you and I are sitting here like in rain where the weather is starting to change and get cold and rainy. That's not fair. We lost.
It's called my life. You know, no, I shouldn't say that because I've been super lucky over the past, the past decade with all this stuff I get to do. But no, you know, Ricky was complaining because I got to go on the Disney Dream for that little media thing in August. So this is her payback. She was actually, she just scheduled this trip for a quick little getaway because she got the Ratatouille AP preview. So she went down for that. And then coincidence, Space 220 opened up today as we're recording back on Monday, if you're listening on Wednesday, and that's all time shifted here at the podcast. But what did you think initially with what you saw that she was posting? I mean, It looked a little chaotic there before the restaurant opened because this week it's only walk-ups, no ADRs at this point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told her. We were like in a group chat with her and she took a selfie and I said, that looks like chaos behind you. It was just madness. Looked really cool. I liked the elevator thing or whatever. It looked really awesome to me. How you could kind of see like images of Epcot as you were shooting up. Like, I don't know. That just looked really cool. Honestly, like just from the interior shots I got, and I don't know if you've been here before or the last time you've been, but it really reminded me of Coral Reef a little bit, like the setup.
Yes,
in there.
Yes, I know. It's like, but
the space windows looked like the tanks in Coral Reef, and I thought how it's tiered and leveled. Yeah. That's exactly the image I got.
I thought the same thing. It's like you know, like bookends, like Coral Reef's on one side of Future World, you know, Space 220 is on the other. Now, here's the thing: we talked about this on Sunday night's live call-in show, which you'll hear on the feed tomorrow. Is that we kind of joked around that they should throw in some Easter eggs into the displays, right? As you're looking out into space. And from what I saw today, not to ruin anything, but I think there are some kind of Disney super fan Easter eggs if you look closely enough in those projections in the windows when you're looking out into space.
Yeah, that's super awesome. But yeah, happy to be here on a Wednesday. At the time that this is hitting the feed, I leave a week from today for the world. So excited about that.
Week from tomorrow for me. Thursday flight down and then Monday flight home. Quick weekend trip, but excited. So let me ask you this. I don't think I've asked you this, but what are you looking forward to the most over this weekend besides the obvious? Because we're excited to see Enchantment. We're excited to see Harmonious and so forth. But like ADRs or plans that you've made, is there something you hope happens or something that you're looking for? We all have that kind of certain thing, like this trip, I hope I get right to do this. What is it for you?
Absolutely. Outside of the obvious things that you just listed, there's going to be some new restaurants and some new offerings happening too. So like Steakhouse 71 is one that's definitely on my list. I was able to snag a breakfast from me and Elizabeth on our departure day. So definitely looking forward to checking that out. I would like to sneak in for a lunch or a dinner. Yes. if it works. I'm staying at the Contemporary, so I'm going to try to, like, when I check in, I'm going to sweet talk the staff, right off the bat and see if I can work some magic to get in. But that usually doesn't work. But I'm also looking forward to if I can get into a Harmonious viewing package, like at Rose and Crown or something. Like we did that with Illuminations, our families.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Well, it was you, my family, the Martins, and we had a bit in the Forces. We had a huge group, and that we did Illuminations, and that was awesome.
That was so awesome.
Hoping to do the same.
I would love to do that again. That was well worth the money, and it was just again, it felt we had a little outdoor table. Were we pretty much all by ourselves? Why were we out there by ourselves?
So I think it like rained, or like there was like an emergency, where like someone got like
there
they had to bring an ambulance.
Yeah,
out,
they brought in
so,
an ambulance crew.
So they kind of limited the seating somehow, but like they gave us basically the whole patio to ourselves. Which was fantastic.
And it was illuminated. Yeah, I'm excited. The only disappointment I have for the trip so far is that I get in late Thursday night because I'm trying to, I'm working Thursday for the most part, then flying down at the end of the day. And I just found out, see, now Riley's excited about this, but I found out the Maya Grill ADR I'm not going to be able to make. Now, that's heartbreaking because Maya Grill.
Yeah,
man,
you might have to look into changing those flights.
I know, seriously, that might cost me a lot of money.
I tell you, like, I'm going to do some things I don't usually do. And you too, kind of, like, I'm going to be possibly rope dropping the Magic Kingdom, which I like to do, but like I like to avoid like chaos, which
yep.
This is all going to be chaos
it's
that
all
weekend. But like I'm going to go to the last Happily Ever After, which is just crazy to think, it's going to be madness there. So last Happily Ever After, the first Enchantment, the second Harmonious, Ratatouille. I mean, I'm exhausted just thinking about it, Mike. So hopefully I can keep up that.
You're going to be a walking Disney historian by the end of this trip. Last, first, middle, all this. So yeah, it's going to be a fun time. We'll have it all on Instagram and Twitter, both of our accounts.
And hopefully a 15-mile training run at the Contemporary I'm shooting for.
I know, dude.
Dopey training calls for 15 miles that weekend, so I'm going to try.
I have the Chicago Marathon that next Sunday. So like a week later. So I should be in a taper, but I don't taper. What I
you
do
don't
is
taper,
I just,
dude.
But I also don't go up, right? I mean, I'm just staying at 13, 13, 13, 13, and then just cross my fingers when it comes time for 26. I did that for Dopey last time and it worked, but I'm also 2 years older, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's get to the questions. That's why you're here. You don't want to hear how old and how crackly my knees are. Bethany in the live chat has a question. Thanks for joining us today. Since Rise is going standby 3 days before our trip, should I keep Hollywood Studios for 2 park days? We have APs and hoppers in the, I guess that says group or fruit group, I'm sure it means. So what would you do now? Because we've always said, it's not a bad idea to have a second Hollywood Studios theme park reservation, because if you get shut out on the boarding groups day one, you have kind of a backup day to go for it again. Right. I mean, give us some advice.
I would still keep it because like other factors could take place, right? Maybe maybe the ride's down to technical issues and you're not even able to do standby, right? If Rise is super important to you, I would definitely keep both days. And there's plenty to do at the studios. And then if you have a park hopper, I don't know if she has park hopper or not.
She does.
Like,
she has APs. Then, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then you can like hop over to another park too. So I would definitely keep both.
Same. I totally would. But I would also try to get there. Again, this is me. It's one of those things that really stinks to get up early, but like that time you invest early in the day, if you're in the front of the crush that gets into the park, say, you just, you don't even really want to be at the back of like the rope drop crowd. You want to try to get there. And I know it's boring waiting there for the park to open. And we had this discussion on Sunday night, like if Disney, you know, posts a 9 o'clock opening and all of a sudden they're opening, you know, everybody's getting in at 8:15, that's really going to be tough on everybody because you can't judge like when you should get there and stuff. But get there early, get Rise under your belt, standby, and then just, you know, it's gravy. You can do whatever you want the rest of the day. Hop over to Epcot, Magic Kingdom, go to the pool, whatever you want. That's what I would
do. And if you get to work the first day, I know park reservations can be tricky sometimes, but hop in the app and see if you can possibly change it, you know?
Yeah, and you can usually
change another park you're trying to go to.
Right, especially Epcot. You can almost always get Epcot. Oh, yeah. So that's a good one. Okay, Tanja has a question down in Nashville, Tennessee, where, interestingly enough, Scott was showing me today some projections. Yes, after three football games in college football, we do have bowl game projections, and it predicted in the Music City Bowl, the Michigan State Spartans against my Missouri Tigers. And if that happens on December 30th, I will be there. I promise you.
We'll be doing a live show from the stadium.
I would take it. I love bowl games.
How about those Tennessee Titans pulling off that awesome win against the Seahawks? I mean, I don't want to offend any Seahawks fans either. Like, I know we're all passionate about sports teams, but that was a heck of a comeback
We
were recording the live show last night.
Yeah, sorry to Ed Ramos, who may be listening out in Seattle. He's a big Seahawks fan. Yep. She says.
Yeah, I love Ed, man. He's awesome.
Disneyland question for Scotty in Anaheim for a work conference next month. Would 6 hours on a Wednesday be worth a day in Disneyland? What would be your 6 hour strategy?
Wasn't two there, hours?
Here's what I say: go get a 5 hour energy. Those little shots that you do when you're on a road trip. Do the 5 hour energy first, then go do 6 hours at Disneyland. You'll get 11 hours worth of fun. No, I don't know. Give her some advice.
I would definitely go over and hop over to Disneyland, even if it's for 6 hours. Just taking the atmosphere. I don't know if she's been there before or not, but there's definitely some attractions that all of us may have heard that are a little bit better out west than they are in Florida. Like Pirates is one that jumps out to mind. That's obvious. But yeah, just, you know, or do some attractions that you don't have out there. You know, like I love doing Mr. Toad when I'm out there, or Pinocchio. The whole Fantasyland is completely different at Disneyland. It's so happy. It's so awesome. But definitely just taking some time for 6 hours and do some good snacking. I wouldn't do like a table service if your time is like that limited. Like, even though Carnation Cafe and so many other places are great, but there's so many great counter service spots. You can like grab some beignets at the French Quarter. And yeah, just even if you only had 2 hours, I would still recommend to go. It's so awesome.
Let me ask you this. So if you got one snack at Disneyland, what's your one? Because like, you know, if you're only there for 6 hours, you might only get one or two snacks. What would you go to? The beignets? I mean, is that a must or is there something better?
So the beignets are a must. They're fantastic. But the corn dogs at Disneyland
corn dogs.
I don't understand like why they're so much better in Disneyland than they are at Walt Disney World. But I love the corn dogs. And there's this place. It's called like Rancho del something.
Zocalo. Yeah. Is that not it?
Yeah, it's right by Big Thunder. It's where the Dorito was invented.
I've heard that on Matt's show, Matt and Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is like that's better than any Mexican food you're going to find at Walt Disney World. I mean, the location could have something to do, you know, Southern California, but it is so fantastic, and that's a definite. You can't go wrong with anything on their menu if you like Mexican food.
Okay, bam.
Oh, my God. Like, all the food at Disneyland is so good. I'm so hungry now, Mike.
Like, I have a bag. I have Fritos upstairs, little bags, like snack packs. I need a little bag of Fritos. That'd be terrible to eat while you're podcasting, but I kind of want them right now. Right. Okay, good question. Thank you for that. Christopher Chabot has a question. Hey, Mike, and hashtag Scotty G, T-minus 5 weeks until our mini-moon at the Riv. Can't wait to hop the Skyliner and enjoy some Primo Piatto. Oh, anyway, oh my gosh, it's so good. It's good for any meal. The hamburger there, the cheeseburger is so good, but the breakfast, that what's it called? The Madame, what's it called?
The Croque.
Croque, something like it's probably not how you say it, but oh my God.
I'm sure it's not Croque, but that's what I always call it.
Oh man, it's good. If you eat three of those 3 days in a row, you could croak. That thing is so rich. Anyway, so
I know you and I were talking like ADRs for, you know, the 50th anniversary. I feel like I still need to find my way over to the Riv just to get that breakfast.
Oh,
like
100%.
If I'm there for 5 nights, I got to find a way to get over to the Riv because that's my favorite breakfast.
That is my favorite. It's so good. They need to make those in Epcot somewhere, like in France. I'm just saying. Anyway, the return of annual passes with the new add-ons model along with the launch of Genie Plus got me thinking. Depending on how the Genie Plus launch goes, do you think Disney will consider offering Genie Plus as a $99 add-on? With a week-long trip on the horizon next September, we're already considering upgrading to annual passes, but this would make it a no-brainer. Look into that crystal ball and let's make it happen. As always, thanks for everything you do with the show and booking many of our trips to the world. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your support. You know, that's an enticing question. Here's the thing. I think Disney would be smart to do this for annual pass holders. I don't know that it would be at a $99 price point for an entire year. Because if you think about it, $15 a person a day, I don't know, though. I mean, if I had to guess, I would see that this makes sense because annual pass holders are wise old wily Disney fans, and they're good at using the systems that are in place, and this would obviously be something annual pass holders would be interested in. I would not be shocked, though, if this were to come in as an option, it would come in at like $199 or even $299. It would be something right. that they would dangle it out there just enough that you really, really want to add it on. A lot of people still would. They'd, you know, just be like, oh, I hate this, but I got to get it. It's going to be worth it in the long run. $99, I think this would be a steal.
Yeah, but like if it's $99, yeah, I feel like it would water down everyone else's experience if there's all these pass holders that already have it. And not everyone would still buy it at $99, but I think a majority would. Like, if you're spending that much for an annual pass, like, what's another $100? That's what Disney would probably think, right? Right? Oh, what's another $100? But if that many people in the park have it, there's that many pass holders, I feel like they could water down the system a little bit. But, man, that's a – I think you're on to 300, though. Like, that would, like – that would really get you thinking, like, man, is it worth it? How often do I go?
But, see, that's the whole deal with how this new – pricing structure is going to work out, the dynamic kind of things, you know, like we spent a ton of time on this Sunday night on the call-in show with all the callers. Like, when you have these ultra attractions where you pay, you know, the individual price to get on the attraction, where you set that price point is going to affect so many it's not just going to affect the people that are paying to go on Rise of Resistance for, like, you know, $18 a person. It's going to affect every person in the standby line, because if that price is too low, that standby line is never going to move. I mean, it's going to creep. But if you put it at $50 a person, it's like a seesaw, right? I mean, the higher price for the individual ride pass is going to benefit the large mass that's in the standby line. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes.
Yep, we've seen a lot of changes over Disney over the last 10 years, right? So here's just throw this one more in there. I'm looking forward to see what kind of impacts it has.
It's crazy. All right, Arturo has a question here in the live chat. Will the crowds be low this weekend, or will it get crazy going into the 50th celebration? So this weekend coming up, I would say you're in pretty good shape, because I would say a lot of people are holding back and arriving about the time we are, like, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. Yeah, next week, the 50th weekend, even though, here's the thing, it's not, I don't think it's going to be as nightmarish as I thought a year ago, right? I mean, obviously with how the world is and everything like that, but I mean, we're worse off last year this time than this year. You know, we're making steady and slow progress, but we're not where we need to be. But the thing is, if you look at resort availability, you can still book a hotel room on site for the 50th weekend right now. Now, you cannot do that in some weekends in November. There's some weekends in December that you cannot. So I don't think
I'm with you, Mike. So, like, all along, like, I got to get the Contemporary. And, like, this summer, looking at it, like, all I could get was Pop. It was, like, the only thing I could get was Pop Century. I'm like, well, I'm going to get it. I love Pop. But then as we inch closer, like, I see more availability. I'm sure you're probably seeing it on the travel side too. I think people are canceling for whatever reason, moving things around. So maybe it is going to be better. I know it's going to be less busy than it is in Wine and Dine, because, like, I can't find a single room for that weekend.
But I mean, the thing is, I think with the theme park reservations, though, but then again, they throughout 2021, you know, it was a miracle to get a Magic Kingdom October 1st theme park reservation. And all of a sudden you saw on Twitter, there's more. And then it didn't just happen once. It happened probably five more times. So the Magic Kingdom is going to be packed on October 1st. And Epcot's going to be, I think, really busy on October 2nd. Because I think that's, you're going to be, like, you're going to see the same people doing that. And I've kind of the opposite way. The people that are Epcot on October 1st, you'll see them probably at the Magic Kingdom on the 2nd.
Which I kind of felt, I feel like switching sometimes to do that. Like, I feel like you'll be, like, less busy those days. But
I mean, I'm there for the fireworks, so.
Yeah. But I think he's right on. Like, I think there's going to be low crowds the weekend before, because unless if you're like some of our friends, you know, they're just going to go down for 3 weeks beforehand.
Yeah, right. I mean, Pam Forster doesn't want to miss anything. She's like, I want to be there for the, you know, eighth to last performance of Harmonious, of Happily Ever After. Seventh. Yeah. She wants to make sure she says goodbye very well. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Old friend. I said goodbye this when I was down in August. We didn't go to the parks. We watched it from the Grand Floridian. Actually, it's a great spot. I'd never seen it from there, but right outside of the Grand, Gasparilla Grill.
Yeah,
there's like
a great spot.
Yeah, it's where the yacht parks right there, because our room was by there.
And you got a view of the castle right there. Like, yeah, I've had like,
it's awesome.
We've had like snacks and cupcakes out there one night, just having our own little dessert party.
Yes,
watching it.
Yeah, because I had a Mickey ice cream sandwich while I was watching. I was like, this is heaven. This is great.
I'm kind of different like that, and that's why I'm curious what the new show is going to be like. I'm fine. Like, I don't need to be in the hub watching the projections. I understand the projections are a huge part of Happily Ever After, but like, some of my favorite views are like at California Grill or, you know, like outside the theme parks at the resorts, just watching, because like, it's less crowded, yeah, usually, right? You can just kind of roll up, find a table somewhere or get a spot on the beach and then just watch it. Like, that's my ideal way of doing it.
You feel like more of a VIP watching it that way than, you know, in the hub. I mean, in the hub, you're just like, just smacked it. But we will be on October 1st just because.
We will be. Yeah, there's certain times where you have to do that. But like, I do love the resort viewings, because then you're not like, you don't have to do the mad dash to get out of there too, where you're like shoulder to shoulder. It takes like 40 minutes and then you get down a bus and like, I don't know. Like, I'm really selling it, aren't I, for watching it in the park.
But you're right though. As soon as like I can sense that, you know, Happily Ever After, for example, was ending, I'm always, then my brain shifts to, oh my gosh, I waited till the end. I'm going to be 2 hours before I get back to my room.
And I'm right by this partner statue. How am I going to get out of here?
Exactly. I'm like, oh man. I know some people say, you know, to sit on a bench and watch everybody go by, but, and I mean, that's less stressful to get on a bus, but I mean, that means you're still going to be getting back probably now 2.5 hours later. And I'm, you know, I'm an early to bed, early to rise kind of guy. So it gets me. I need to not be that way on vacation. So we'll figure it out. Okay. Craig Franklin, one of our lizards down in, I believe, Memphis. If I said that wrong, I'm sorry, Craig. He says Disneyland has the butterscotch beignets too, and you have to wash them down with a mint julep. Now, I've never had a mint julep. Have you ever? You probably had one, right?
Oh yeah. I've had alcoholic and the non-alcoholic ones which they serve at Disneyland. And yeah, those are fantastic. And yeah, I mean, there's so many, there's so many great snacks and so many places to go, but like, the beignets truly are one of my favorites at Disneyland. And like, that whole area, wherever you walk, there's powdered sugar all over the ground, because everyone's got their bags of the beignets and they're shaking them and there's powdered sugar everywhere. And they do the seasonal ones. Like, I've had pumpkin beignets around Halloween. I've had like candy cane flavored beignets. So I always like to get a half a dozen of the specialty and a half dozen of the regular.
Yeah, see, I'd have to get some regulars. I mean, even though like that'd be fun for the seasonal stuff, I'd be like, okay, can't have them all. Like, you know, because candy cane just doesn't sound that good to me.
The specialty ones like always sound fun. So I usually start with those first. I'm like, okay, yeah, these are all right, but let's have the OGs now. Let's have the originals.
Yeah, for real. I'm like one of those people. This is how I live my life, and everybody probably knows this from, you know, we've all been together here for 13 years on this journey. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is like, if it's good, I go the same, you know, I like Taco Bell, so I go there.
Oh my God. Actually, you know, I just want to tell her, like, just spend your whole 6 hours just hanging out and in the New Orleans Square. Like, that is like one of the best lands, because like the train station is right there too. That's one of my favorite spots to hop the train. And oh man, I wish I was at Disneyland right now. I gotta get out there again soon. It's been too long.
Okay, Greg's Linan Bellows has a question here in the live chat. It says, we're staying at the Beach Club for the very first time. What's the best way to get to Hollywood Studios? I know we have a few options, but I don't know which to choose. So I always walk. Again, I like to get my steps in, but also it's not just that. For Beach Club, it's closer to Epcot than the studio, so you got to kind of walk a little further than if you're Yacht Club or Boardwalk. But here's the thing. You have absolute control over walking. You could also take a friendship boat. It's not fast, but it's easy. It's relaxing. It's actually fun.
Friendship boat's the best.
Friendship boat is the best, but I mean, you can get there probably, I'd say the friendship boat probably would take you 30 minutes to get there, and I'd say if you walk, you can get there in 20.
It just depends. So I've had that friendship boat pass me so many times.
That's true.
And you know Elizabeth, and she likes to relax and enjoy her time on vacations. That's what vacations are about, right? And she just looks at me. She gives me this stare every time a friendship boat passes and we're walking. She's like, that could be us on that boat right now.
That is true. Because then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm walking and I'm losing. Like, it's the...
Yeah, it's the worst combination for me. So like now, like I've just always gone to the friendship boat now. Like, you know, let's just take our time. Let's not walk. especially if you're at Beach Club, because you can get right on right there.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, like if you're at yacht, well, it's kind of in the middle. I guess it kind of depends on where your room is too.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I would, if you want to relax and me actually be on vacation, which is what we're all supposed to be doing, Friendship Boat. But if you just want to have absolute control over everything, walk, because you know. Unless you
I would not do the Skyliner though, because I know a lot of people feel like, oh, the Skyliner is like right there. It's just like going backwards basically, because then you got to take the Skyliner to Caribbean Beach.
Oh no, you wouldn't want to hop off.
Like it's just a mess. Like
unless you just want to ride, it's like a ride, right? I mean, that's kind of a fun thing to do if you don't have a park ticket. But no, that's not an efficient way to get to the studio. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a fun way to get there though. Oh, totally. I'll say that.
And by the way, Craig is in Atlanta. Sorry to Memphis. I don't know what I was thinking. A couple cities over from Ricky. So there you go. Sorry about that, Craig. And he's actually there's a conversation going on in the live chat as we're recording. He's wondering how many people are going to try to hop to the Magic Kingdom on October 1st. And like we've talked about, because we both have Magic Kingdom theme park reservations for the 1st. I mean, we're not going anywhere just because we want to be there for that first showing. And for if anything happens, I don't think anything special is really going to happen. I really don't, other than the fireworks show. But I think this will be the first day since park hopping has returned that you may not be able to hop to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to leave. But then part of me thinks, too, like I have a theme park reservation for Magic Kingdom. So like I feel like if I left, I should be able to come back in. Like hopping, like, I don't know, but like,
I wonder how that works.
Like, I have a reservation. So say if I'm at the Contemporary and I just want to take a midday nap and come back, I feel like I should be good, right?
I think you should. But what if they know that you went to Epcot? Because they do know that.
They do. So that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't hop that day. Like, oh, do you mean to like do Ratatouille, then come back and try to like squeeze everything in?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Like how the system. And the thing is, like, I'm just one of those people. I don't want to find out on October 1st. You know, like I don't want to be like, oh man, I didn't know that. I'm outside the gates. It's like one time, one of our very, very first trips when I took Pam and Paige. Paige was only like 6. This is before we were married. And we went down and, you know, I didn't have the podcast. I didn't do any of this. We were just there. I didn't really know what I was doing. But I knew that I wanted to take them to Cinderella's Royal Table for like the last day of our trip. You know, because it was like, I read about it in the Burn Bomb Guide. Like, you got to do it. So we get to the gate, the last day to go to the Magic Kingdom. And dude, I'd miscalculated our ticket days. We had no tickets. It's like we couldn't get in. I was like, oh no. So then I had to add a day of tickets to guest relations and all that, but I looked like a fool. But it's one of those things. Like, I don't want to find something out. I don't want to have that deer in the headlight look again on October 1st. I don't want to find out.
You were that guest, right? Where someone probably overheard and was like, this guy thought his reservation was good enough for a
right? No, I knew. But I calculated, like, because, you know, it's like the whole thing, like with hotel stays, it's the number of nights, right? And then your tickets, it's the number of days. And I had them like equal, and it worked out. I needed one extra ticket day because we were going to eat at Cinderella Royal Table, then start driving home and stop in Gainesville on the way home that night. So yeah, I still remember that. I was like, oh no.
That's funny.
Okay, let's see here.
It's gonna be fun though. It's gonna be crazy. I'm very curious what's going to happen with the park hopping, if there's any day. But you've talked about it, like you park hopped to Hollywood Studios on
May the 4th, smallest park. And that was a nut house. And I still got in. But I mean, it wasn't a nut house because everybody was back in Batu. But it was like, I mean, and I'm saying this in the most loving way possible, it was like Star Wars nerd heaven. Like, I felt
the lightsaber video you showed me was insane.
I felt naked because I did not have on a robe and I did not have a lightsaber in my hand because I just took Mallory. I was like, we have to tape this for Instagram. I was like, because this is the absolute coolest thing, because I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I don't own a robe. I have a cheap lightsaber from Walmart on the wall. It's not a good one. But I mean, these were not only lightsabers that they probably made at Savi's workshop, but maybe even better. Like, these people were probably on the 501st, you know, Legion with the storm. I was just like, I mean, these people were all, they were doing all their moves. Like, there was a, who's the guy that got chopped in half in one of the prequels? The guy kind of looks like the devil, Darth Maul. I mean, he was like, whoa. I'm like, this guy's going to get like in trouble by security because he's about to kill somebody with that thing. But yeah, it was awesome. And I did get in. So I was smallest park and I get it. But who knows? I think October 1st, I wouldn't chance it. Okay, Arturo's got another question. He says, do you think Magic Kingdom will fill for the last viewing of Happily Ever After or over at Epcot for Epcot Forever? Epcot Forever, I don't think you have any worries. Like, that's not really beloved. But Epcot is huge. It's Epcot Forever. You can see the last show, no problem. Happily Ever After, I think there is more of a sentimental feel for that one. It could fill, I would say, but I don't know what I put the odds on for that.
Yeah, and I just know it's going to be madness. It's probably going to be one of those where I'm going to get my spot 3 hours before the show starts. Going to get my phone out. Going to get a deck of cards out. But it'll be well worth it, though. Like, it'll be awesome.
All right, let's get to another question from Mitch. Hey, guys, when do you think they will launch Genie and Genie Plus? I have 65 days until our Polynesian stay. You know what? Here's the thing. They got to get all the signs up first, and they're doing that at a very rapid pace. I would say, I obviously haven't been there, but I would say they're probably at least 50% there on attractions. From what I'm seeing on social media, that has to be in place first. I've also heard, now I've just seen this on, you know, social media like everybody else, they are training cast members now on how to implement Genie Plus. That's something that has to happen, so it's a smooth rollout. If I had to guess, I would say maybe a month from now, maybe towards the end of October. I would say it's going to be in place by Christmas. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I thought they were ready to go when they announced this Rise of Resistance boarding right. pass, like going away. Like, I was like, okay, that means they're ready to start making money on the Lightning Lane, like right now. But I feel like that's too quick of a turnaround. But man, I'm just dying to know, like, when is this date going to happen? You know, I wish they would share, but they have been pretty good about sharing news lately. But I think you're right, Mike. They want to have it definitely for the holidays. I'd say probably by like in November, we'll see it, would be my guess.
I mean, that'd
like
be
about when Mitch's stay is actually.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking is right about that time, because you got a little bit of downtime before like the holidays. And, you know, I mean, not to be pessimistic about this, but you said it. Like, I think Disney doesn't want to miss out on like one holiday season without Genie Plus. Like, they would rather have it come online November 20th and January 2nd, because then you've missed out on that whole busy holiday season. Also, I mean, think about it psychologically. I think people are more likely to spend during the holiday season for something like a Genie Plus than maybe in January, where it's a whole new year. People, you know, everybody makes their New Year's resolutions. Like, I'm going to be a little bit better. You know, nobody is. But we all say I'm going to save a little bit more money this year. And, you know,
but I think for Disney, that date is October 1st, though, because right. That's like when their fiscal quarter starts. Like, that's when the new year starts, is October 1st for a corporation like that. But I think it's too, there's so much stuff going on October 1st. Like, I don't think they can jam this one in with it.
All right, Tangie, so another follow. She's got a follow-up for you, Scott. She says, I followed your recommendation and set a reservation for Narcoossee's for October 3rd, but sacrificed it for Space 220. Hope to get another. You know what? I think that's not a bad call. I mean, it's the new thing, and it looks super cool. So I said, I had to get another on the books for the 50th. I was torn for about 30 seconds. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at two.
I feel her pain, but, like, it's a no-brainer. Like, Space 220 is the new restaurant, and as I kind of talked about earlier on the show, like, I tried for every single day I'm there in October and November, and I couldn't find a single thing. So it's kind of like hitting the lottery there. So definitely keep that. You'll be able to get Narcoossee's another time.
Yeah,
but
true.
I can't wait to hear what you think, though, when you go to Narcoossee's. Maybe my family can join, because that is my favorite. I love it.
I love that place. Dude, there's been times you've eaten there, and I'm like, I'll just meet you afterwards. I'm going to go over to Gasparilla Grill and get a burger and fries. I mean, not that I don't like it, but I'm cool with, like, that night I was just like, I've eaten so much, I just can't. So, yeah. But
that and California Grill are, like, my two jams. Some of the servers at California Grill know me, I think, which is sad.
That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Okay, Julianne's got a question here in the live chat. Hello, do restaurants, let's see here, is it popping up, seem to be physically distancing still? We are going to stick to outdoor dining next week, but can't bring myself to cancel Boma, California Grill, Skipper Canteen, Beaches and Cream. She says also, I don't want to cancel Tusker House. Thoughts? So, I mean, I haven't been down since August, so it's been a month. You've been a little bit too. But we do see a lot of photos on social media. I think they still are physically distancing to a point, but I think it's more of like a 3-foot bubble than the 6 that we saw. Like, when we were down last August, man, like 50s prime time was like, you know, 3 families to one of those whole rooms. It was crazy spread out.
Right. I'm just trying to think. So I haven't been since this summer, but just thinking back there, like Topolino, Citra Crows, Maria Nenzo's, a lot of the places I had table service at, they were social distancing. But that very well could change. My guess is they still are, because I think it's really hard to get ADR still. I mean, I know it's a shorter time window, right? They open at 60 days, so everyone's jumping on it. But I think they still are doing social distancing. I can't say that for a fact, though.
Craig says he was down 2 weeks ago, and he didn't feel that they were. But again, okay. It's one of those things. I think they've, from what I've seen, is I think they've brought it in a little bit. Like, But it's still not as packed as it used to be. So I think it's kind of like it's like a midpoint. I think it's kind of how everything is at this point, right? They're trying to obviously increase capacity, but I think they want to keep people comfortable. So I would say that's what I
And I love like dining outside. I mean, I understand why you want to keep some of those. And I will say Beaches and Cream was doing outdoor seating the last time I was there too. So that could be something you can ask for. You might have to wait a little bit, but you know, they have those tables normally set out where people will take their ice cream from the to-go station. They actually turn those into restaurant tables. So that's an option there, too.
Here's another question from Mitch. He knows that we're the restaurant guys. And this is going for you, Scott. He says, one more. Topolino's or you have to pick. This is killer for you.
Topolino's this is so killer. Grill.
I've never eaten
So I love the Magic Kingdom Firework View from California Grill. But I must say, as a recent, Topolino's is above California Grill.
Really? Oh,
I know, right? I have a California Grill tattoo on me. No, I'm just kidding.
But, I was like, what?
Topolino's, Narcoozie's, California Grill are my top three. So you can't go wrong with either of those. Honestly, I haven't even seen like fireworks from Topolino's because all the times I've been there was when fireworks were, you know, shut down. So like, I would love to know from anyone like what those views are like. Hoping to experience someday soon myself, but I would go with Topolino's. Such a great meal.
Isn't that funny though?
Because their bread is so good. Oh, and the ricotta. You have to get the ricotta when you go there too. Oh man.
It's so funny though, because like when these restaurants open, like Topolino's and Toledo over at Coronado Springs, the Grand Destino Tower, is that, you know, these things were built because of the firework viewing. Like that was what they were sold on, even more than the food, the service. And then, you know, when they open in a time where you can't see fireworks. It's funny how the world changed that fast.
It is kind of funny, but like they don't need that though. You know, like the food itself is like worth it. You know, it's so good, but then it's just the icing on the cake and then you can get those awesome views from up there.
All right. Let's hit one here from the inbox and it is from Bill from Maryland. Hey, Mike and crew, my family and I are heading down to Walt Disney World Sunday with two first timers. One is a big Star Wars fan, so we have him covered with Hollywood Studios. The other, not so much. I know he likes boats, so I'm wondering what is the best way to get from Shades of Green to Disney Springs by boat? He has one other question that will be really good at the second question. So if you want to ride a boat to Shades of Green, I would say this stinks because I had an idea, but the Port Orleans resorts are closed and the Sasagula boats aren't running. So what I would have done is say to go to the Magic Kingdom, hop on a bus to either French Quarter, Riverside, or Old Key West. And then from there, you could get on those Sasagula River boats, and that's the perfect way to arrive at Disney Springs.
It's my favorite ride in like all of Disney World is that Sasagula from Old Key West.
Same. I was like, that's my jam, but they're not open yet. It's going to be there this weekend. So what would you do to get them a boat ride?
I love the friendship boats. You know, we kind of talked about that earlier. If there's a way that if you're at Epcot or Hollywood Studios at all, I love the round trip from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. It's about 30, 35 minutes because it stops at the Swan, Yacht, Boardwalk, and Hollywood Studios. And if you can get outside, it's a great one. But if you're at Shades of Green, I mean, you're going to be in the Magic Kingdom area. And Mike, sorry I jumped into it. You're probably going to get this one too. I love the boat ride, the Fort Wilderness from over there. Yeah. It's so great. Didn't we do that together this last summer too?
We did. I think. That's a good one. Yeah,
and if you can get outside, it's even better. If you can get like the back or the front of the boat,
I like the
weather
front.
Permitting, it is so great.
Yeah, I totally do. Okay, so he has a second question. We have a reservation at Splitsville for Monday night. I didn't even think about this. He said Monday night football at Splitsville would be pretty cool, right? Because it's kind of like a sports atmosphere. Also, they have a great like outdoor area at Splitsville that they've really, I think, expanded since COVID, you know, since we've come back. Right there as you kind of come into it from the AMC. There's usually like a live DJ. There's a bartender outside. Yes, I mean, the whole setup's outside. It's pretty
all of Disney Springs is like really happening now. I love like all the outdoor entertainment and things like that. You're right.
But he says, none of us have ever been there before. Is this a good option for picky eaters? I really do enjoy listening to the show. You guys do a great job and all the information has really helped in planning this trip. Bill. So thanks so much for taking the time to listen out in Maryland, Bill. And congratulations to your Ravens Sunday night. I know. Scott wasn't a big fan of that comeback. But hey, you know, what can you do?
It's all good. Hey, I like the Ravens. I like John Harbaugh. He's a good coach. So.
I did pull up the menu. Now, I would say I do have the menu for Splitsville pulled up because this came in this afternoon. This is a good place for picky eaters. If, I mean, like my family, picky eaters, Mallory and Paige always. And I looked like on the appetizer menu, you got cheeseburger sliders, you have chicken tenders. You have loaded fries. Make me hungry. The Kona fries, loaded fries, macho nachos. You know, you got all kinds of pizzas, just cheese pizza, pepperoni. That's picky stuff. I would say I would skip the sushi. There's lots of sushi. Salads.
I hear the sushi is fan. I've never been to Splitsville. But I hear like that is like the best sushi. That's what everyone talks about with Splitsville.
Right. I've heard that too. And everybody's like, oh, it's so. I've had food there because we had a meet there years ago. I met Florence Porter there for the very first time. We were there with, it was before one of the cruises. We were there with Masayo from Japan. But I don't think I got sushi because it was with my family.
I mean, we're talking about picky eaters, but like bowling alley, sushi, like that just doesn't sound
like
that.
It totally sounds
yeah. It's the best.
I know, and that's exactly it. I know. Everybody's like, it's so good. And I'm like, it's a bowling alley. Like, it's stinky bowling shoes and sushi. But yeah, I mean, they have fish and chips, taco, like a taco salads. I mean, I would say this is
sounds
probably,
like an extensive menu, which I think would really help with a picky eater. Lots of options to choose from.
And on the kids' meals, you got grilled cheese, mac and cheese, chicken tenders, hot dog, cheese pizza, kid burger. I mean, right there. Here's the one thing I want to bring up, too. Well, we'll say, we'll talk about it real quick because we're almost out of time. How about Space 220? I haven't got this confirmed, but I did see it on social media today. You cannot order a kid's meal unless you are a kid at Space 220 to try
to
makes
sense if it's prefix, right? I mean, like they want the adult paying the $80 for dinner? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like $55 for adults for lunch. It's expensive. You're paying for the
it's
experience.
It's expensive, but it makes sense. It makes sense. But like, but sometimes it doesn't. Like, you just don't have an appetite. And we didn't talk about this, but California Grill, it was announced at the time of this recording, they're going prefix as well. And like, I was telling you before the show that I like to go in and get like, you know, three or four sushi rolls, maybe like one of their flatbreads, you know, kind of like snack for shareables for the table. That ain't happening anymore.
Yeah.
Which has kind of bummed me out, but.
All right. Well, hey, Ben Harris here. He says, hello from the UK. Get ready. We're finally allowed back soon. So can't wait to start looking forward to my trip. Now, yes, we have tons of listeners over in the UK. And apparently I'm not some kind of foreign relations guy, but I've been watching Twitter, of course. And it seems like possibly there's going to be some relaxing of restrictions for folks from the UK. So, yes, welcome back. We'll meet you at Rose and Crown for a pint.
Awesome.
That's what we got
to do. They need to go to... What was Malcolm's place like? Main Street Leasing, or
yes. Is like, get your car now, exactly.
Get your car October 1st. Main Street Leasing. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, the official car rental of the BR Guest Podcast in the UK. Yeah. That's exactly it. Perfect. Okay, we are going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday, where we are going to bounce some topics back and forth. It's going to be all kinds of stuff in one show on Friday. Of course, tomorrow you get the replay of Sunday night's live show. We had lots of great calls. We had a lot of great discussion about where that price point would be. Like, we asked our callers, like, if it was X amount to ride Rise Resistance, would you pay it? Every person said yes, which scared me to death as a cheapskate. Like, I'm never going to move in the standby line. So we had lots of great conversations first time. We're on Disney Talk. It was good shows. We had fun with that. So enjoy that tomorrow and join us on Friday. Don't forget, of course, our show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. We'd love to help you plan that next Disney vacation. Any of the Disney destinations, we'll take care of you. We promise to give you the best service out there and the best price as well. So again, check them out at themagicforless.com. We have the Amazon affiliate link, which really helps support everything we do. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You just click through that link. It takes you right to the Amazon site. It's exactly the same than everything you buy. We just get a little commission on that. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And again, thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put the show out 4 times a week, every week, all around the world. It's because of your support. And our patrons get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. So check out all the details over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. You can follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. I'm at BeOurGuestMike. Scott's at Epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T. Also follow at Palm Trees of Disney over on Instagram. And join us this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on Facebook and YouTube as we take your calls and talk about all the Disney news of the week. All right, time to get out here, get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday and Thursday and Sunday and Monday. If you open up your podcast app, chances are it's going to show a new show in there, and hopefully you enjoy listening to those podcasts. So for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Stay safe, stay healthy. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.